All right, Tim, we're back. Friday shorty, which I don't know if this is going to be a shorty or not, but it might be elongated into a more, we got some lighthearted stuff. We got some serious stuff to talk about. So let's get right into it, Tim. What do you think?
You don't think we can make this into a 15-minute conversation?
Well, probably we could, but we ramble on a lot. So
I've been told that by my wife on a couple of occasions. She's always like, you know, you and John could probably cut 5 minutes out of your Friday podcast because sometimes you're just talking about nothing. You're like the Jerry Seinfeld show or Larry David right. show.
That's right. Okay, so the first topic, you ready? It's the big topic of leftovers. This is exciting. And I am not a leftover eater, but you say what?
I will eat anything in the fridge and I love cold food. So, I mean, for breakfast, if there's leftover from dinner and it's 6:15 in the morning, I'm drinking a cup of coffee and I have a craving for some pasta or some leftover chicken or maybe some noodle casserole, I will just
jump into it. Pizza for me is like exempt. I can eat pizza anytime. I could eat it. You know, if it's sitting on the counter overnight, you know, if it's in the garbage, I'll take it out and eat it, you know. But I think that and like Thanksgiving dinner leftovers.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Something I'll eat. But you're saying like you'll take pasta out of the fridge or.
I mean, if there's actually some leftover chicken penne that Cynthia made like last.
Can't right before, do it.
I mean, it's been in there for like a week or more. And I actually had some for lunch yesterday. Just opened it up and started eating it.
But you don't want to know my theories about microwaves either. So I'm not a big microwave fan.
I use microwave for popcorn. I use microwave to reheat some things, mostly water.
Yeah.
Or maybe soups, but there's not a whole lot I put in the microwave.
But you brought up a good point where we talked about this earlier is like, so we had chicken the other night. Yep. And then there was some leftovers that Monica repurposed and made chicken salad, which was
absolutely.
Very good.
Absolutely.
That I can do. But if it was the same chicken sitting, you know, on a plate with saran wrap on it, I'm not eating it. But she repurposed it, made, you know, put some mayonnaise, whatever you put in chicken salad. It was good.
As long as the protein, be it pork or chicken or whatever kind of meat you're working with, as long as it's not smothered in a sauce.
Yeah,
I basically repurpose anything and add it to rice, add some veggies, a little, you know, a sauce, a stir fry sauce of some sort, and suddenly, boom, a new meal. Yeah. Or I just chop it up and add it to a salad, and we'll have a big salad with some cut up meat on it. But yeah, I do a lot of that.
This is hard hitting stuff right here.
I grew up that way.
No, I know.
I'm in the military. Like, I mean, there are points in my life where I didn't have time. I would get home from work at 10 o'clock at night. I'd be on that Metro train at 7:14 in Buffalo Grove, Illinois to head downtown to the Loop for my office job. And I'd get back home usually between 8:30 and 10, depending on how late I stayed out. Yep. And I'd have a quick bite of dinner at 10 o'clock and go to bed and start the day over the next day.
All right. Next topic, we're going to talk sports a little bit, but I got to bring this up. The Bears made a move last night. They obtained Keenan Allen from the Chargers.
Yep.
For a fourth round pick. Keenan Allen is going to be 32 when the year starts. Actually, he turns 32 next month, yeah. Which is, you know, he's a seasoned veteran. He's a great receiver. He probably has a couple years left in the tank. I was reading about it. If he was saying that if he didn't get to play for the Chargers, he might retire. That was always a good. It's always good to hear, but I feel like that might tip their hand on what they're doing in the draft, possibly. I don't know.
They're picking a wide receiver with number two. They have to take Marvin Harrison. He's the best receiver.
So they have the number one pick. You wouldn't take Caleb Williams.
Well, no. We've had this conversation. I'm surprised they're keeping the one. I would give up the one and get lots of picks and do what Dallas did, you know, years ago to start creating a foundation of football. Yes. That's what I would do. But I understand that if you have a generational talent in Caleb Williams, you can't win without a good quarterback. And it's a matter of, do you think Justin Fields is good enough to get you to a Super Bowl? If you don't, then you've got to take Caleb Williams and just, you know, you shit the bit with the pick of Fields 3 years ago or 4 years ago, whenever it was.
Well, that's my point is that I think they're going to take, I, I would take Caleb Williams. So that goes, there's your first round pick or your first pick in the draft, or you trade it down one or two spots, or you keep Fields and you, like you said, you trade that first pick and then you get Marvin Harrison, which isn't, these are not all horrible. You know, you're in a very good position. It's just Fields is, you know, his value, his trade value is just dropped.
Yeah.
And he's, so if you do take Caleb Williams, do you have both those guys on the roster come like training camp? It just seems.
Where's Alan Carlson when you need him and have the coach's viewpoint? Look, there's a lot of buzz around what's going on with the Bears right now, and it's kind of positive buzz in the city. And I just, even though I'm 2 hours south of Chicago, you hear that buzz in the community with the new stadium proposal that now that they're talking about. They've had several, they've gotten, you know, you just mentioned Keenan Allen. They brought in a couple other guys. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got the draft options. So there's a lot of buzz with the Bears, and I think you should be kind of happy. I don't know about your coach, but you should be at least happy that there's
some buzz around the Bears. Well, they have four draft picks in this coming draft. Two are in the first round.
Right.
And if history is any indicator, the GM, Ryan Poles, likes draft picks. So he would trade that number one to get more draft picks. So, I don't know. We'll see. Got another month of listening, month and a half of listening to all this
chatter. Yeah, and this is just football chatter. I mean, we're in the midst of basketball season right now.
Yeah.
With all the different conference championships going on this weekend. You get the NCAA draw on Sunday evening. Next week, we start the NCAA tournament. So the next 3 to 4 weeks, it's basketball-centric around my house.
Do you have a favorite to win at all? I mean, a little early. We don't know the matchups, but.
It's hard not to like Houston. It's hard not to like UConn. UConn won it last year. It's been a while since teams gone back-to-back. I do like Houston. I've watched them play. They play in the Big 12. My alma mater, K-State's in the Big 12. So I've seen Houston on a number of games this year, and they are just lean, long, and fun to watch.
Yeah.
Like their coach, they've got a coach that's got a history of cutting corners in Calvin Sampson, but look, they're fun to watch. And UConn is UConn. Dan Hurley, who's the coach there, has got a team that, you know, like I said, they could repeat. It wouldn't surprise me.
I'm going North Carolina.
Look, if Caleb Love, who transferred to Arizona, was still playing for UNC, I'd say that's the dominant team this year. Arizona's a team to watch out for. They're fun to watch too.
I don't trust Purdue. I don't trust Alabama. Arizona always bounces out. They always have a great team. And
well, look, Kansas could be a really good team if they're healthy. When they've got several guys hurt, including big guy that transferred from Michigan. If they're healthy, they could be somebody to reckon with. I don't think they're going to be healthy.
All right, Tim, here's the serious part of the conversation.
Woohoo!
So, last week, or around that time, you had driven out to Richmond, Virginia, to see your in-laws. Your wife's mother was, you know, falling ill, and it could have been like, a very...
A sudden end of life situation is what we anticipated at the very beginning.
You didn't know, and so
that is correct.
Listen, our father's passed away. Mine
early
24 years ago now.
Mine 23 years ago,
but it's a topic. You know, I feel like no one's ever really prepared for, and you know, why not talk about it for our audience, our contractor friends, you know, our casual listeners. But there's going to be a time when you have to prepare for this stuff, and
especially if you're a business owner.
Yeah And so when you were driving out there and you're thinking about like, okay, this is possibly end of life, what are the processes and mechanisms that are put in motion to prepare for this? And you know, one thing you had said is, you know, we're going to be there for her dad, we're going to make sure he's okay, you know, all this stuff. But I mean, think about finances and
oh, absolutely,
burial versus cremation, where is the, you know, where is the lot going to be? I'm sure some of that may be already predetermined.
Yes,
but,
yes. We're lucky. Her parents have, her father was a Baptist minister, so he's been around births and deaths his whole life. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like the cottage industry for their family. His brother, he's had brothers and fathers and grandfather. I mean, Baptist ministry was their thing. So they are prepared for most of the inevitables. But as a Baptist minister, you're not making a lot of money. So it's not like they, you know, they're in their late 80s. And, mm-hmm. you know, I think her father, Charles, is still very, Dr. Charles is still very healthy, even at 88. And I could see him living another 9, 10, 15 years. And
he's, you know, Superman.
Yeah. He was. He was the first Superman of Metropolis.
Literally. We're not literally, joking.
No, honestly, he was the very first Superman of Metropolis. So it got Cynthia and I to thinking, because the day we found out her mom was suddenly rushed to the hospital, we were like, oh, shit. But what's the exit strategy? What exit strategy in the point of not mom exiting stage left, but what are we doing and how are we doing it? And Cynthia was like, I'm not sure what to do, because she was overwhelmed by just the, oh, wait, am I going to see my mother again?
Yeah.
You know, alive. And I wanted to take that weight off her shoulder. And I said, well, let's get in the car. Let's do what we got to do today, leave tomorrow. And that's what we did. But as we were driving, we started thinking, and I've told you, we have a death file in our house.
Explain this. Yeah.
So a death file for us, it has all of our legal documents, vital records, you know, birth certificates, marriage certificate, copies of life insurance policies, power of attorneys, living wills, our wills, my military records, all of our financial records, to include, you know, loan documents, mortgage documents, all the passwords and access to every different thing we have on our computers for not only work, but for, you know, my two or three gambling sites that I, you know, things like that, all that stuff. You know, we have all those records, investments for our 401k plans through her work. We have all that stuff in a death file. Included with that would be, you know, what are our funeral plans? You know, 30 years ago, I thought I was going to be buried in Arlington. Well, since then I got married and I no longer want to be buried at Arlington. You know, she wants to be cremated. I have a hard time with that. I'm Catholic. You know, cremation is not something I always saw as a possibility, but she's changing my mind on that. Mm-hmm. You know, so that for us, it's a big data file on our computer. We also have printouts in our safe. So for us, it's just, it gives us a checklist of what happens if I get hit by a car today or Cynthia doesn't wake up tomorrow. What's our checklist? Because we're going through grief and that grief can sometimes overwhelm you. But her and I are both type A personalities. So at the same time, I want to be able to have a checklist, who I call, when I call, why I call. I know some of this sounds, you know, like insensitive, but, you know, I want to be able to get shit done in the case something were to happen. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be like my parents, who, when my father died, was on a fishing trip with his buddies in Texas, and I'm living in Orlando, Florida. My brother's here in Central Illinois, but, you know, we kind of were at a loss what to do. He was married at the time, so we didn't have a lot of choice in the matter. His wife did, but, you know, I want to be ready. I want my wife to be ready inevitably if I die first.
Yeah. Had you ever thought about cryogenically frozen, Tim?
You know, it's funny because the biggest one in the world is in Scottsdale, Arizona by the airport.
Ted Williams.
I have never thought of it. Yeah, Ted Williams' head is just hanging out.
Or like, Walt Disney. Which one was it?
It's Ted Williams. They cut his head off, I thought. I have no interest whatsoever. No interest whatsoever.
Can you imagine that, though, if technology and science progress to that point and all of a sudden you woke up and it's like 2040 and you're like, what the fuck is going on?
No kidding. Well, and it's funny because, as you know, while we were in Virginia during her, you know, dealing with her mom, and her mom's, you know, still alive and kicking, thank God. Mm-hmm. You know, she's not happy about that. Every day she wakes up going, damn it, I did want to wake up today, which mm-hmm. is a whole nother story. But while I was down there, my last living relative on the ward side that was my dad's, my father and all my uncles have passed. My Aunt Roz passed away last Thursday, so a little over a week ago. And her daughter, my cousin April, went into scramble mode trying to get a death certificate because in the state of California, you've got to have dates of parents' deaths, where they're buried, where they were born, and all this stuff that my cousin didn't have. Mm-hmm. And as the oldest remaining person in the ward side of the family, she called me. And my cousin and I are really close. Mm-hmm. There's about a 10-year age gap, but we're pretty close. And she was like, where was grandma born? Where was granddad born? Some of it I knew, but some of it I didn't. And I started scrambling to look on, local records, Google. It was nearly impossible to find anything that was older than 20 years old. And my grandfather died in 73. Mm-hmm. So it was like a struggle. We finally found everything after calling some funeral homes and calling people we knew in the it was jumping through hoops, and it took about 48 hours to find everything. And that was kind of also, I was like, okay, a part of the death file, Cynthia, we have to have all the information about our parents and our grandparents. Mm-hmm. So we included that with the kids and, just so if anything were to happen, we know where our grandparents were born or parents were born and died and where they're, my dad was, we spread his ashes and my mom's buried here. And so,
yeah. I recall when my dad passed away, I guess I took, or I was, given a, he had a brand new laptop and I was using it, and Best Buy called me and they're like, well, there's still payments owed on this laptop. And I'm like, well, whose name is it under? And they're like, well, Ralph Masonbrink. And I'm like, well, he's dead, so good luck trying to get payments from, and it turns out they shit out of luck, I guess, I didn't have to pay for it. So,
well, that goes back to when my father died in March of 2021, March of 2001. Mm-hmm. It's been 23 years, just a couple days ago. He died on the 11th. When he died on a Saturday evening or Sunday morning with he in a hotel, passed away, had a heart attack in his sleep. He was on a fishing trip with his buddies, but that following Monday, he was divorcing his wife at the time. So he died before legally getting the divorce. And that was something that haunts my brother and I to this day, more my brother. But my brother was afraid that my father had a large collection of guns, had a really nice fishing boat, things that he knew that his ex-wife wouldn't need, and was afraid that his ex-wife would sell and not, keep the money and stuff like that. So my brother, probably not the wisest thing, because my brother's a cop, went to the house, broke in my father's house, took all the guns, got a friend to come get the boat and put the boat. I probably shouldn't.
Wait, he's going to listen to this and go.
Yeah, no, but yeah, all this stuff really happened when my father passed away. And cause we were like, he was getting divorced on Monday. And now all the stuff that she has that it's his, she can keep. And sure enough, she called attorneys and they were going to sue my brother and me for this and that and the other. And we were just like, whatever. I didn't want anything for me. It was just, the only thing I got from my father was some bills and his wallet.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's weird, but this way should when and if, well, not if, but when both Cynthia and I pass, we've got files, we've got people that know the access code to various things that they need to get access to. The kids will be well protected and well taken care of. I've told her I'm going to spend all the money I make in my lifetime before I die because it's mine to spend. The life insurance policies are for the kids. And
But we did discuss this, that your father-in-law, Cynthia's father,
yes,
is older, but he is okay to live on his own if he, if it in fact comes to that where he would
absolutely be living. And Cynthia's older, she's got a twin brother who actually lives with her parents, but he's bipolar, so he lives with his parents because he really needs to have somebody there for him. But her older sister is actually a registered nurse, lives in Chicago. So she does a really good job of making sure that everything that's going on with mom and even dad is communicated to us in a dumbed down version of what the medical facilities might tell us. So, now dad will be taken care of. We will make sure of that.
Okay.
But I would agree. I tell everybody, if you're a business owner and you don't have, you know, that process
stuff,
worked out.
Yeah. Your stuff in order. That's
true. Get your shit in order. You need to have a transition plan. You need to an exit strategy. You need to have something. Work with an attorney, work with a financial planner, or just, you know, work with somebody to get the shit done.
Yeah. Yep. All right, Tim, we made it 24. I told you we wouldn't get this under 15. So
I knew. So once you got me rattling off the death file information and look, I told you, my wife, type A, she put all this together. I mean, she asked for input and I gave her input, but she's the one that runs this family. You know that.
Right on. Well, it's a good idea to do. It's not a pleasant thing to think about. It's not something that's top of mind for people, but you know, when it happens, you're scrambling like in your head, like what do I need to do first? What do I need? You know, who it's better, like you just said, to have your stuff in order and be prepared, especially if, you know, you have older parents or there, you know, there's a sickness or something that the inevitability is closer than.
Or you've got young kids. I mean, JP, you've got kids in high school still.
Yeah.
I mean, eventually, if they go to college, they're going to have college loans. You know, what happens? You know, who's paying those? I mean, you don't want to stick your kids with so much debt that they're spending 15 of the first 20 years of life out of college paying off those debts. That's why we talk about getting into trades.
This Appetite for Construction podcast is brought to you in part by PERC, the Propane Education and Research Council. Propane is the energy for everyone, especially construction pros. It's a single clean energy source that can meet your project's performance, safety, and resilience goals while maintaining efficiency and lowering costs. See how propane can help meet your project's needs by visiting propane.com now. Propane, it's the energy for everyone.